And I saw other friends that were doing several deployments to Iraq. This was during the time when they were doing 9 months out, 9 months home, 9 months out again. And they would come back not being the same person.
Military Wife Matters, Episode 1. PTSD, A Realistic View. Hello, I'm Sakina Bunch, your relationship health and wellness coach. Welcome to Military Wife Matters, where we delve into the real life issues concerning military wives across the nation. Today's topic is on the sometimes taboo, often misunderstood subject of PTSD. We have an amazing couple that has defied the odds and is working through their diagnosis of PTSD and teaching others to do the same. Stay tuned. This is one you don't want to miss. Alan and Clarissa Dodsworth met 18 years ago. They have been married for 6 years and have 5 children. Alan is an OIF Marine Corps veteran, history buff, and YMCA director. Clarissa is a proprietor, disability advocate, real estate agent, and homeschool educator, among many other endeavors. Both are devout Catholics. Welcome, Clarissa and Alan, to Military Wife Matters. So glad that you could be guests. How are you?
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you are very welcome. So please tell us a little bit more about you. You all just sound so interesting. Homeschool mom. I'm a homeschool mom myself, so I get that. Talk to me. Tell me a little bit more about yourselves.
Oh, there's good and bad days with homeschooling. Some days you want to put your kids in school, and then other days you're like, oh, I know why we're doing this. So,
yes.
Take each day as it comes.
That's right.
We love being around our kids 24/7.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Now, were you both wanting to homeschool, or was one wanting to homeschool and the other one was kind of on the fence about it?
Actually, we quite the opposite. We did not want to homeschool. I was completely opposed to homeschooling originally. Our kids have actually been to public and private school prior to being homeschooled, so kind of just fell in our lap.
Well, let's talk about the PTSD. Were you familiar with PTSD before Alan was diagnosed?
No, I was not. I had no idea what it was. I've heard the term, but did not know what it was.
Okay, wow. So when he was diagnosed with PTSD, what was your reaction?
Well, I kind of did some research beforehand, but I'm not in the medical field whatsoever. And I kind of had an inkling that he had it before he actually admitted that he had it or before he was officially diagnosed. And that's kind of what led our curiosity to become you know, a little bit more savvy on the topic and kind of inquire to see if he had it.
Right. Okay. Well, Alan, can you tell us a little bit about your experience with PTSD?
Well, I mean, starting in the Marine Corps, you know, in any military branch, any kind of weakness is frowned upon by your superiors and you know, the fellow troops or Marines that you have with you at your side, because you're expected to be 100% at all times. And I saw other friends that were doing several deployments to Iraq. This was during the time when they were doing 9 months out, 9 months home, 9 months out again. And they would come back not being the same person. And during my time in the military, I didn't think, you know, and that's what they want you to think, is that nothing's wrong with you, and just continue on the mission. But as I, you know, eventually got out in 2009, and started, you know, adjusting to civilian life and things here on the home front, I knew that I was isolating myself and maybe avoiding things that somebody that didn't experience the things that I did in the desert would find enjoyable. And, you know, so it does happen, you know, to this day sometimes at certain arenas.
What were some things that you used to enjoy that you were no longer enjoying?
Just, you know, group group activities. And when I say group, I mean, you know, going to an event that has thousands of people, and it just, you know, it feels like somebody's on top of you. You can't watch everybody.
Right.
I don't think, you know, time in my life, you know, I'm not thinking that something's going to happen. It's just, I get really bad anxiety, and like, I need to take a break. And just step aside and clear my head a little bit. So things like that, and also, you know, just, you know, they talk in the military about how civilians are, you know, nasty, and they don't clean and things like that. And I mean, to this day, I'm the cleaner of the house, and you know, everything is, you know, I try my best, but it's hard with five kids, but everything's in its place. Everything has a spot. Everything is cleaned. You know, it's almost like doing, you know, we had field days every Thursday, stateside, and it's like doing a field day. You just, when I see the house dirty or I see something messy, it does get to me. You know, as far as that, I do remember before I was diagnosed, driving at night was a big problem. For me, because I did a lot of convoys that were, you know, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, going out to pick up vehicles that got hit with IEDs or you know, sniper fire or things like that. And just driving at night, you know, your mind wanders. And you know, it speaking of that, I mean, it all does get better eventually, and you do let down your guard a little bit.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a mouthful right there, you know, and I think a lot of the listeners that are listening in, they will be able to relate to that. You know, I have been on both sides of the spectrum, where I have been a soldier in the Army, and I have also been a spouse, or still a spouse, and I can relate to what you're saying about the weakness part, and anything that is deemed as a weakness, it's like you got to toss that aside. So thank you for sharing that with us. Now, Clarissa, how did Alan's diagnosis affect your relationship?
Well, it not only affected my relationship directly with him, because he seemed really distant, but also with the children as well. There was a specific time that I remember I knew I needed to do something about it and get him the help, even though he was rejecting the diagnosis before it became official. He was in denial and didn't think anything was wrong with him. It was everybody else around him.
Mm-hmm.
It was when my son, who was 3 years old at the time, had this card, a little toy from the movie Cars that was, you know, popular a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was, the car's name was Tow Matter. And it made this, you know, normal, which sounded like a normal sound to me that a car would make, kind of set my husband over the edge. You know, he thought it sounded like a mortar bomb. So we had to get rid of the toy. My son, you know, was distraught, and I hid the toy. My son got it out of the trash, and it was just like this back and forth thing. And I'm like, this is just no way of life for me, for my son, or for my husband, you know, at this point. So, you know, little things like that would just set him over the edge, you know, constantly. Just the closer I would try to get to figuring out what's going on with him, the more distant he would be and just push me away. That feeling of just being pushed away, the rejection, like, oh man, that's like a stabbing knife to the heart when it's somebody you love that just, you know, refuses to get close to you. I can't explain how hurtful that feels. But at the same time, it's talking about emotional roller coaster for the other person, because, you know, you're trying to help them and they just don't want the help, or they don't know how to accept the help. But, you know, just the constant rejection, I can't describe that, like, because there's no words for it. Mm-hmm. But you feel sorry for them because they really don't know what they're doing, you know?
Well, exposure therapy is, basically you go in there, and I'll preface this with saying that if anybody out there is going to the VA, and you feel like you don't have a good, therapist or anything like that, get another one, go to a different VA. because I went through several of them, and then I found somebody that actually wanted to help me. Exposure therapy is basically the doctor that you spend time with. She or he gets to learn, you know, gets to learn you and know you and like your family life, your military history, and you pick out several things or triggers, like Clarissa calls it, that bother you. So mine used to be standing in the grocery line with 10 people behind me. Just don't like it because, you know, in my mind, people out here in the real world, what we call it, don't have the respect to stand far enough off of you. They stand on top of you, and it just gets you hot and bothered. Yeah, yeah. So one of the exercises was going to a store and standing there, you know, while my doctor watched me, and I didn't have anything to buy. I was just in line, and I would have to tell the people just to go around. You know, another thing was that you pick a few of your traumatic, you know, stories or things that bother you. And like for me, it was one main event. And you sit there for an hour, 2 hours at a time, telling the story from beginning to end. And what that does, it kind of aggravated me in the beginning, is because I have a bachelor's degree in military history, and I want to explain to my grandkids what I experienced and things like that. But what that does is it kind of makes you not want to talk about it. So, you know, everybody gets out of the military. You're proud. You got the Marine Corps emblem on the back of your car and stuff. The events that are traumatic, you kind of suppress them inside after just telling the same story over and over and over again. And it's from start to finish. And the doctor writes down every detail of every time that you tell the story. So when I knew I had enough, I looked at the doctor. I said, I'm just tired of telling this story. I'm just ready to go home. You know, it's nothing now. And that it actually did work, because that lessened or even depleted, you know, the nightmares or the thoughts of that event.
Wow. I was watching a video that had Second Lady Pence in it. And she was talking about art therapy being one of the best forms of therapy for PTSD. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's cool if that's what floats your boat. you know, I think for me, it's more of like, you know, music or there's been a period of time when I was really into motorcycles. You know, fishing relaxes me. But again, we're in the world where you work every day and go home. You have to make time for those things.
Right.
You have to make time for yourself. And you have, you know, your time with your spouse, your time with the kids. But every once in a while, just put it on the calendar. That's what my wife and I do, is that it's Alan's day. It's Clarissa's day. Just go out. Go out and do what you have to do to get your mind back out, you know, get your mind right.
Yeah, I think therapy for everybody is going to be something different. So art therapy might be great for some, but I wouldn't say that, you know, especially with PTSD, that there's one set therapy across the board that works for everyone.
Right.
I think you just have to, you know, really research and discover. Like, Alan has a friend that's really into equine therapy, which is a new one that they're saying has proven results for people with PTSD. You know, just getting out there, being with the horses and one with nature, that's been successful. So I think there's something for everybody out there. Like he said, don't give up. If you have somebody who's not working for you, get someone else. So you have to be your own advocate at this point.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So that's kind of like a segue into the next question that I was going to ask you. And this question is actually for Clarissa. What do you do for self-care?
That's a hard one as a mom to answer, because
I know, right?
I'm just now getting to the point where I realize that self-care is important. I think as a mom and a wife, you always, you know, want to be the backbone of the family and always put your needs second and everybody else's first. I know that's been my biggest problem my whole life, always putting everybody else before me. But just making sure you put on your own oxygen mask, you know, and it wasn't until someone actually put that, you know, scenario in my face and said, you know, if you're on an airplane, you know, you want to automatically give your baby in your lap the oxygen, but are you really helping the baby? No, you have to do it for yourself first. And right. So that's something I'm just now coming around to. I actually learned that through a homeschool conference. Mm-hmm. There was a speaker there that mentioned that self-care is not selfish. And I just stopped everything I was doing while I was not being selfish and looking for a curriculum and books for my kids. And I just stopped what I was doing and looked up and I'm like, this message is definitely for me to hear right now. So I started to listen, and what she said had a lot of relevance to it. And, you know, I've tried to make time where I enjoy alone time, because I think that's something for me that's hard. I'm not one of those people that likes to be alone. I always like to be around somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds really weird because a lot of moms like their me time, but I'm just not one of those people. But mm-hmm. I'm starting to learn to enjoy to be by myself, mm-hmm. Which is really hard, I guess, because I'm a talkative person. But and I definitely don't want to talk to myself. So I think for me, it's just like going to the spa whenever I can, which, you know, that's not always doable when you're on a budget and with a large family. But my husband has been great about pushing me to do that and making sure that I go get a massage at least once a month. So that's my me time or my alone time, and that really helps me. But when I can't do that monetarily, you know, I bath daily. Like, even if I take a shower, I just have to soak in my essential oils and take a bath and just like block out the world, block out the kids, lock my bathroom door. A bath in the dark, no lights, is very soothing and relaxing to me when I just, you know, especially when we were going through our thing with last year. Baths are just, you know, I guess that's my go-to for self-care.
Yes, you were speaking my language there, especially when you said essential oils. You had me at essential oils.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm all about
those. Yes. Okay, so now you talked about the Wounded Warrior Project. I know that there is another organization that is mainly geared toward married couples, which is Army Strong Bonds. Have you ever dealt with Army Strong Bonds? Do you know if they do anything with PTSD?
I am not sure, because Alan is, you know, former Marine Corps. I'm not sure. Is that an organization that is open to any branch of the military, or is it just...
You know, that's a good question. I actually found another soldier. Well, they weren't a soldier. They weren't a part of the Army. That, I guess they might have snuck in, so I won't mention much more about that one. Maybe they weren't.
Good to know what the resources, though. I mean, I'll definitely look into it. I'm not really sure, but I know with the Wounded Warrior Project, they do have a lot of events for single individuals as well as married couples. They make sure that they encompass not just the veteran, but the whole family.
Yeah.
And that goes even to your extended family members. Like, they have events for, you know, registered alumni, like your caregivers and family. So, like, it's not just limited to the veteran. So it really embraces the entire family. So that's why we like Wounded Warrior.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, what advice would you give to others who are living with someone with PTSD?
I would say just get involved in a local support group, even if it sounds cheesy or cliche or something that you don't want to do that's totally outside of your comfort zone, because you can really find yourself becoming depressed just like the individual that you're caring for. I've never had depression my whole life, and I felt like at that point I was starting to show a lot of the signs and side effects from that, because I feel, I don't know statistically if it's been proven, but I feel like in my own personal situation that it, at some point it was contagious.
Yeah.
So, you know, just surround yourself by people. I think we can carry that burden too much and want to fix everything on our own. Mm-hmm. But just reaching out to somebody else who, you know, who's been there. I remember when I got to my lowest point, you know, a few years ago, before he was diagnosed, reaching out to a church member that was also a spouse, a military spouse, that she was going through the same things, and she was actually suffering from depression because of her husband's depression. So it is common. You do see a lot of people that go through that. So I would definitely say surround yourself by positive people, but also reach out to the others that may be going through the same thing, because you're not alone.
Okay. All right, Alan, what advice would you give to others who are going through or have been diagnosed with PTSD, or even haven't gotten to the point where they're diagnosed, but they're displaying the symptoms?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of advice on that, and I'll be really frank with my next statement. It's basically put down the beers and surround yourself with people that want to see you succeed. Because that is what was trapping me, was being around the same old people that were just happy with how they are, and they wanted you to fall into the same category. So, you know, wake up tomorrow, the next day, drink some water, maybe go for a walk, and just say, hey, it's time that I want to change and I want to be productive. It doesn't make you any weaker of a person. You know, you paid your dues. You fought for your country. It's time to take care of yourself. You were taking care of everybody else. It's time to take care of yourself and your family.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Okay, so my last question to you is, what are you two doing now to make others aware and help them live with PTSD?
I would say that we are being more open about our struggles and our relationship, whereas before we were a lot more private and just wanted to pretend like everything was okay on the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And we found that that wasn't really helping anyone, and it definitely wasn't doing us any favors in our relationship. And I think that people have come to us out of the woodwork for advice. I'm constantly opening up my Facebook messages every day saying, thank you for sharing this post about depression, or thank you for sharing this struggle about anxiety or PTSD. I have it too. I'd never wanted to talk to people about this before. You've made it okay. I really look up to you and your husband and what you're doing. And by no means, our relationship is not perfect, even though we are back on track now to where we want to be. Everybody has struggles, you know, but I think making sure that you're open and people seeing how candid and honest you are makes it look like, you know, there's more hope for everybody. I know last night, Alan and I went on a date night, which before we really didn't have time for date nights or put date nights first. As much as I wanted to, his anxiety and PTSD would get in the way of that because he couldn't be around a crowd of people. And that's where we were really struggling a lot. Last night we saw the movie Indivisible, which I highly recommend. Military families, actually any couple should really go see it. It's a movie that describes like what the effects of PTSD and some other things and trauma that happens with going overseas and military life brings. That movie did a great job of showing that there's help and hope for everyone. So that's what I'll let Alan sum that up. What else we're doing? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, don't look up to us. Don't look up to anybody else but yourself. Because you're the one who has to set an example. No matter who you are, if you're a bachelor living in New York, you know, in a studio apartment, or if you're a family guy with five kids, somebody's looking up to you. So, you know, 22 vets a day, I think they came out with, are committing suicide. And I'm tired of reading about it. So let's just stop it now and then get to the point. Ask for help. I never ask for help. But I'm glad I did this time, because, you know, it was a constant battle. And I mean, you know, if you need help, go to the VA. If you need help, they're not answering at the VA, contact Wounded Warrior. If you need help, go to the VFW. There might be guys that are 80 years old, but hey, they'll find you some help. I mean, it's out there. You just got to ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan and Clarissa, thank you both so much for being guests on Military Wife Matters today. Alan, I thank you as a fellow veteran for your service. I know this is not an easy subject to talk about, and my listeners and I really appreciate how open you are in shedding light on it. And Clarissa, as a fellow spouse, I thank you for your service, because sometimes, you know, the spouse is the unsung hero as well. You know, you both have hung in there when many have thrown in the towel. I know the military rate of divorce is over 50%. And you two said, no, we're going to stick this out. And so I commend you both greatly for your commitment to each other, your commitment to this country, and your commitment to not allow others to suffer in silence, but giving them a voice and trusted friend to turn to. For more information, please check out the Wounded Warrior Project. Also, if you know of someone who is battling depression and is even to the point where they may be thinking thoughts of suicide, please call the suicide hotline number. It is 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255 to reach a trained counselor. Use the same number and press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Hotline. Thank you so much for joining us on Military Wife Matters today. Look forward to catching you next time. We always want to send a huge shout out to our sponsors. If you would like to be a sponsor of Military Wife Matters and support the work that we do here while sharing what you do with our listening audience, please email us at militarywifematters@gmail.com. Subject line, MWM Sponsorship. You wrote that great book. Now what? It's time to take that book and become a profitable entrepreneur. If you need help harnessing the power of digital marketing, allow certified digital marketing specialist Vanessa Collins to help you use the power of technology to build your business and increase your revenue. For more information, connect with Vanessa at digitalmasteryforauthors.com. And by Clean Good Eats, specializing in allergy-friendly and detox eating plans. Group and one-on-one coaching available to help you get your health back on track. Restoring healthy relationships with food, others, and self. Connect with them at cleangoodeats.com. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Military Wife Matters, where we delve into the real-life issues concerning military wives across the nation. Join us next time as we bring to you those topics that matter most to you.